Right over here is Vayashkim Mabaika Pasakal Zainab Babaika Ilamakamash Omat Sham Esme Hashem. Okay, we discussed this whole week that we had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the morning. We discussed this pasuk. We learned about tefillah 3 days in a row, and the bekar for tefillah shachris comes from this pasuk. Avram woke up in the morning. He woke up early in the morning. El hamakom, he returned to the makom asher amad sham, where he stood, es pnei, in the presence of Hashem. This is the location where he stood when he davened for the people of Sidom. Avram davened for the Sidom and says, "Save Sidom the merit of the tzaddikim." 50 tzaddikim, 45 tzaddikim, 30 tzaddikim. What did I say? 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. He did not ask for 8. He did not ask for, because 8, there were 8 during the Mabul, and Hashem didn't save the 8 and 9. We learned about Seraph. Hashem would have, the same way Hashem would save for 10, he would save for 9, because for a minion you only need 9 people, and Hashem will be the 10th. Fine. So the stone was, Hashem did not listen to his prayer, and stone was destroyed. So it's over. It's over. Done. The next day, Avraham got up early in the morning and returns to the Mokoyim, to the same location. By the way, when do we do this? When do we do this thing? They actually do this. You know, I daven Chaim, and I don't daven yet. I don't daven down the Yom Kippur anymore. I'm trying Yom Kippur. But in Chaim Berlin, beautiful yeshiva, they have a very big minyan for Yom Kippur. They have 1,500 people. The last time I was there, 1,500 people, 1,000 men, and about 500 women, and they Yom Kippur. So when Yom Kippur is over, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, it's over. Curtains, right? That's it. That's it. It's over. There's nothing more you can do. It's over. The next morning, davening is 5 minutes earlier than it is the whole year. The davening is 5 minutes, or they start davening 5 minutes earlier. Baruch Hu is 5 minutes earlier because of this halacha that the day after Yom Kippur, I don't know where it says in Shulchan Aruch maybe, you're supposed to come even earlier than you ordinarily start, to show that it's not a burden, to show that the davening, this that you've davened on Yom Kippur and it's over, oh, it's a burden, I got it's done with, I'm finished with the davening, no more. Whole day of davening and fasting, so the next day you can sleep late, you don't have to daven altogether. Chas v'shalom, adarabah. The next day you come to davening earlier than you ordinarily come. Most shuls do not do this. Most shuls, but it's so excited, and they don't do this for fun. It's brought down, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know where it says to do this, but they do this. The next day davening is 5 minutes earlier. This really is seen in this pasuk, because over here there's nothing more to daven for. Sedom was destroyed. There's nothing left that finished. So what is Avraham Avinu coming to daven the next day for Sedom? Now, I would say a drush, this is something I would say a little on Friday, is that no, I would say there is a reason why Avraham came in, because Lot managed to save Tsoar. Lot, really, 5 cities were meant to be destroyed. 5 cities. What happened? Lot said to the Malach, "You don't have to destroy Tsoar. Only destroy 4 cities. The 5th city, let it go." Why? Because they don't have enough. They don't have enough sins, so it was not destroyed. Now that was only temporarily was not destroyed. Right now the sins are small, but in a year from now it will be destroyed. So I want to say a drush. The reason why Avraham woke up in the morning to pray, what are you praying for? There's a mushroom cloud. There's nothing to pray for. It's over. They're finished. It's toxic. There's radiation. Get out of here. No, there's a city that has not been destroyed. Tsoar. Why was it not destroyed? Because Lot asked that it not be destroyed. And Hashem acquiesced, but only temporarily. Which means it's still on death row. Wait another year and they'll be gone. So, oh, there's a delay. This city has been given a temporary delay. So Avraham got up early in the morning to pray for Tsoar. Look, Hashem, you didn't destroy Tsoar. So let's make it from temporary to permanent that you're not going to destroy the city of Tsoar. Now, it doesn't say that anywhere. I just said it's a drush. Because it does need an understanding as why did Avraham return the next day to pray when there's nothing really more to pray for. It's done, it's over. Sodom was destroyed. not so fast. Not the entire Sdom was destroyed. 4 of the 5 cities was destroyed. 1 city was not destroyed. And you know, it's interesting. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. When they left Egypt, how much survived? Anyone make this parallel? When the Jewish people left Egypt, what does it say? V'chamushim. Only 1/5 of the Jewish people left Egypt. 4/5 of the Jewish people died, perished in Egypt. Look, Sodom, who survived? Chamushim, 1/5. There were 5 cities, Sodom, Amora, Adma, Tzvoim, and Tzoar. And 4 cities were obliterated, and 1 city survived. V'chamushim, olu v'nei Yisrael, there's a chamushim. There's a 5th. And that was Sodom. That was the city of Tzoar. All right, let's go further. So, Vayashma Ramaroki Vayelamakam Hashem Hashem Pnei Hashem. Pasik, let's see over here. Pasik over here. Pasik. Pasik, Chaf, Zayin in the Rashi. Rashi, there is none. What is in the Targum? The Agdeim, Avraham, Batzafri, woke up early in the morning, La'asha to the place, Deshamesh Taman, where. Now here he says, interesting Targum, he translates the word omad, he stood, dishamesh, where he served. When a person stands, over here knows he davened. The translation of the word omad, the Targum mysteriously translates as the word dishamesh, tamon, bitziloi, kodam Hashem. Now what does that mean, bitziloi, in Hashem's shadow? Okay, so this is something over here, in the, as he says, taish over here, I don't know, as the word Asher Omad Sham, the Shamei Sham Bitziloi. This is not a literal translation. So let's go look. You don't have this. I'm looking over here in my commentator. The Ma'at Sari, the Shamei Sham Tamam Bitziloi, Shesharas Sham Bitzfila. The word Bitziloi means to pray. Solusi Ubousi. It means to pray. It means to pray. So it's amazing that the Targum over here does not translate the word literally, but he gives us the midrashic interpretation that Avram returned to the place where he prayed for the people yesterday. In the Targum Ungulus itself, this is not a typical Targum. That's why we learn Targum, to find the hidden gems in the Targum. And this over here is not just a hidden gem. It's mamish, a 10-carat stone over here, what the Targum says. The Shamesh Tamon Bitziloi, we serve there in prayer, Kadam Hashem. I would never know this if not for this sefer over here. Shashar Hashem Bitzilah. Okay, unbelievable. Kadam Hashem, fine. Next, the Pnei, by the way, over here, this is also something very interesting. This is really very interesting, is that we all know, we always mention this principle 1,000 times, the difference between Rashi and Unkelis. Unkelis cannot tolerate attributing any human characteristics to Hashem. Unkelis cannot tolerate making Hashem into your friend. Man and Hashem have nothing in common, nothing. And Rashi, just the opposite. Rashi goes out of his way to make the Ribbono Shel Olam into your buddy, your best friend. He's there and he's right in front of you. You talk to him, have a conversation with him. You almost make Hashem into your pet. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. But you make Hashem like, you know, you have a conversation with Hashem. Hashem's the boss. But he makes it very comfortable. Unkelis cannot deal with that. There has to be an understanding that man and Hashem have nothing in common. Hashem is so far removed, is so infinite, a person should be in the ultimate pachad before Hashem. And that is why, every time it says the word Hashem in the Torah, every time, Unkelis will always add a word into the translation, Kodom Hashem. He never translates, he always pads the word Kodom. If you take a computer and type in the word Kodom in a search in Unkelis, the word Kodom would appear probably a few hundred times. Every time Hashem's name appears in Chumash, Unkelis says Kodom Hashem. The word Kodom does not appear in the Torah. Unkelis is giving us a literal translation of the Pasuk, and yet he always adds that word inside. Now this Pasuk is very, very important in our thesis of understanding Targum. Because here it says in the pasuk Espinei Hashem. It doesn't just say, in other words, if you writing this pasuk, Ablezer was writing this pasuk, Ablezer Bash was writing this pasuk, he would say, Vayashkem Avraham Abayker El Hamakoyim Asher Omad Sham Hashem. Asher Omad Sham, where he stood there, Hashem. Asher Omad Sham, let's say, I don't know, I'm getting into trouble over here, but Espinei, let's say you would just say, Asher Omad Sham Hashem. What would that mean? It would mean that I woke up early in the morning and he went to the place where Omad, where he prayed. Omad would be going on Avraham, okay, because Hashem doesn't pray. We pray to Hashem. And don't confuse me with the Midrashim that says that Hashem prays. Okay, that's esoteric. Pasuk says, Vayashmei Baboki El HaMokoyim Asher Omad, where Avraham davened, before Hashem. Yet here it says Espinei. So the Targum would translate, if it did not say the word Espinei, the Targum would anyway translate the Pasuk, Kodom Hashem. You anyway do that. Now it says Espinei, and the Targum translates the two words Espinei with the word Kodom. Is that amazing? So that means every time you have in Chumash Hashem's name, and 99.99% of the time it does not say anything other than Hashem's name, the Targum translates it Kodom Hashem. And here is the only place where it says Espinei Hashem, and he translates it Kodom Hashem. So that basically means that wherever it says Hashem's name in the whole Torah, make believe it says in the pasuk Espinei Hashem, because the Targum translates Espinei Hashem and Hashem, same thing, Kodom Hashem. So Kodom is the translation of Espinei. Okay, I think that's a very credible thing. We have already two chidushim tonight, two unique insights for in this one pasuk of Targum. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Chaf Ches. Vayashkev Hashem looked al Pnei Sidoim. Okay, we have here the word the Pnei, Va'amoira, V'al Kol Pnei Eretz Hakikor, the entire plain. Vayashkev means Avraham. Avraham, he looked, he gazed al Pnei Sidom, Va'amoira, the al kol pnei, the entire face of the Eretz Hakikar, Vayar, v'hinei Allah, it was ascending, the kitor ha'aretz, the smoke of the earth, kikitor ha'kivshon, like the smoke of a furnace. Okay, so, now, what's going on over here? Let's see the Rashi first. Chav ches, kitor, what does it mean, kitor? Kitor means timor shel oshon, a column. The word timor means a pillar of smoke. It went up in a straight line. Now, I think the word Timor, I'm not sure. You know, we have this by the Ketores. By the Ketores, you know, when there's smoke typically, it doesn't go up straight. When there's a fire, it just, in a chaotic way, smoke in a very chaotic way rises. Something is burning, it just, I don't know, it dissipates and makes it foggy. But then there is a technique that when you ignite something, if you know what you're doing, you can do something and you can make the column of smoke go up perfectly straight. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara tells us about the family of Kohanim who was in charge of the Ketores. And they had a secret ingredient called the Ma'ale Oshon. It's not one of the 13 ingredients of the Ketores. It was the 11 ingredients of the Ketores. Are they 11 or 13? I don't remember more. It wasn't part of the ingredients. It was something separate. It was added into the fire, into the Ketores, to bring about a chemical reaction in the smoke that would force the smoke to join, to be ma'achid together, and to ascend heavenward, heaven to the Shemayim, in a column. straight up. So if it goes straight up, there's no pollution. There's no pollution. It doesn't spread all over the place. Okay? When the World Trade Center came crashing down, okay, when the World Trade Center came collapsing, the whole Manhattan was poisonous, was toxic. Maybe it still is for a very long time, because the smoke, just, you know, the smoke and the dust, it's all over the place. But there's a technique. You have to talk to a pyromaniac. How to do this is to get the smoke to go perfectly straight up. And the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, when they offered the Ketores, they had a special chemical, a special ingredient, and enabled it to go perfectly straight. Now the question is why? Who cares? Who cares why? I don't know why. I don't know why. And these Kohanim were guilty. Chazal criticized them. They did not want to reveal. They did not want to reveal to the world, to their fellow brethren, what is the special ingredient. Okay, they died with the ingredient. I know someone. Their grandmother had a herring store, grocery store, and they sold the herring. And they had a special. It was delicious. Everyone loved it. It was very, very popular, and they never told anyone the ingredients. And the balabasta who made it died with the secret. She died, and they never ever. The family always says, "Oh, that was some of the best herring we ever had." What was the ingredient? What was the recipe? No one ever knew. She never gave over the recipe, and she died as a guarded secret. Who says it was so good? Why? Who knows what was really in there? In any event, so the Kohanim who were in charge of the Ketores died. They never revealed the special ingredient which allowed the Ketores to come in a special column. And it seemed, and Chazal were critical, which means it was a very good thing to do this. Why? I don't know why. Is it because it's beautiful? Is it some type of advantage? There must have been, and this requires much more understanding. I'm only mentioning this to you because here Rashi says that when Sodom was destroyed, the column of smoke that went up from this destruction went up in a column, straight up, as if you were offering the Ketores. How could that be? No, in the Ketores there is one ingredient, the Chelbana, as a foul odor, and it represents the wicked. The wicked. And the Ketores went up in a perfectly straight column. Even though they were wicked, there is a foul odor in that Ketores, which represents the wicked. Here, by Sodom, it says, the Kitor Vayar, Hine Ola Kitor Haaretz, Kitor HaKivshon, and Rashi says, Tamor Shal Oshan, a column of smoke. Which would mean, if you want to say Drush, when you destroy the wicked people, you have to do it in a way where the smoke, the korban, rises perfectly straight up. What does that mean exactly? I don't know what it means exactly, but it means that you don't just kill people who are wicked. We are equating the korban of Sodom, which the Torah says, V'anshei Sodom chato'im la'Hashem me'od. They were Rishoim and Chatoim, Ra la Shamayim, Ra la Briois, to Hashem very much so. And Avraham Avinu, despite his Kech HaTfilu, was unable to save anyone, none of them. And they were all obliterated. So they're very wicked, to an extreme. Torah says so. Yet, it's shocking, Avraham is davening for them. Do you know even one religious Jew in the world that is praying for Hamas? Not that I know of. I know there are a lot of crazy, unfortunately, Jews that are lost their marbles that do pray for them, but I'm not talking about those. Those are off the wall. Nuts, Meshugayim. Dime a dozen of Meshugayim out there. But normal people we identify with, that we respect in our community and throughout the world, who are part of our team, Could you imagine a Jew saying something positive about them? Could you imagine a Jew praying for Hamas? Impossible. If someone would say something nice about them, ani lo chaver. Right? So, tell me, Saddam was better? Saddam is better than Hamas? They're better than ISIS? Saddam? L'chor, they're worse. I would assume they're worse. I who knows? The Pasuk says they were Rishoim, Chatoim LaHashem Me'od. I don't know, listen, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. I think we could assume they were even worse than ISIS, than Hamas. So why in the world would Avram Avinu daven for them? I don't know. I don't have an answer to this question. This is an impossible question. Impossible question. To make the question even greater, when Sodom was destroyed, it says that the smoke of Sodom went up like in a timor. A timor means in a column. The only other place that you have this concept of smoke going up in a perfect column straight up is by the Ketores. And the Ketores goes lefnai v'lefnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to give Hashem nachas ruach. So what's going on over here? The sudden that we don't know about Sodom that needs understanding. There's something that needs clarification. I think we probably don't really understand what Sodom was, what exactly was going on over there. Because if Avram Avinu prayed for them, and if the smoke went up equivalent to the smoke of the Ketores that goes lefnai v'lefnim, we're missing a piece of information that would clarify things for us. Okay, but over here is Vayar Hine Ola Kitar Haaretz Kitar HaKivshon. The Kitar Haaretz means the column, like a Kitar of a Kivshon of a furnace. Okay, so Rashi it says Temor Shel Oshan Kivshon Chafiro Shesarfin Bo Es Havanim L'Sid. So Rashi tells another very important insight is that the Churban of Sodom was like a kivshan, like a furnace. What is a furnace? It is a chafira. It's a pit in the ground. And in this pit, they transform stone into lime. Now, what do you use lime for? Sid. What is sid? I don't know. What did we use sid for in the Torah? If I'm not mistaken, the only place where we have sid in the Torah is when we came into Eretz Yisrael and Hashem said, I want you to go and take stones and put the stones in the Yarden and outside the Yarden and write upon the stones Kol HaTorah Kula, and cover it with sid, lime. How do you produce sid? How do you make sid? There's no such thing as sid. You burn stones. Pretty good, right? I don't know how that works. Everything in this world has a melting point, including a stone. If you heat up a stone hot enough, the stone melts. And it turns into sid. And that sid was used to cover the letters of the Torah that was etched in stone. Now, what does that all mean? I don't know what that means. Here, Sodom was burning, was destroyed, and it was equivalent to stone melting. The melting of stone. And the melting of stone produces some type of liquid, which we use, which is basically a stone, liquid stone. That's what sid is. It's liquid stone. There's metals, molten metal, steel. What's the temperature? What is the temperature you need to melt steel? Mayor Appledorf, you're a conspiracy theorist. What is the temperature? Steel does not melt unless it's 1,500 degrees. That's a fact. That's a reality. Jet fuel. What is the temperature of jet fuel? 750 degrees. So one of the age-old questions, which goes back from the time from Bryas Olam, is how did two airplanes filled with jet fuel bring down a steel building? It never happened in the history of the world. How did the Twin Towers come down? Not only Twin Towers and building number 7 come down, steel buildings with a lot of steel, a lot of reinforced steel. How did it come down with jet fuel, which only reached a temperature of 750 degrees to take down a steel building that it needs, cannot melt unless it's 1,500 degrees? I don't know the answer. But that is one of the questions that many people are still trying to get an answer to, which no one so far has provided a satisfactory answer. Stone also melts. What's the temperature of stone melting? I don't know. But stone melts at a very high temperature. In ancient times, how did they melt stone? The answer is a magnifying glass. The way they melted stone in ancient times, you can watch on the YouTube video, is Meir has a magnifying glass there. They have a very, very big magnifying glass and a very precise difference. And you aim it like a laser beam, and the temperature that you can create by using a magnifying glass with in certain conditions, you can melt stone. And if you want to see this, go to YouTube, type this in, and you'll learn incredible chidushim of how the ancient people in ancient times would shape stone with amazing precision. It's unbelievable. If you know what you're doing, you can shape stone, you can cut stone with incredible precision, better than any laser machine today, using gigantic magnifying glass against the sun. So here it tells us, and what happens when you do that? What happens to the byproduct of stone? It's sid. And this was done in the ground, because if you do this on a table, the table will get burnt. So here it says that Sodom and Amora melted as if it was stone melting into sid, into lime. That's what it says of it. It says over here, Vayashav Abdurai Stomvamor, Albanikol Kikarits, Vayar Vine Olokitor Arts, two chidushim here, is that the smoke went up in a column, perfectly straight, and it was Kikitor, like the column of smoke that goes up from a kivshan. What is a kivshan? A pit in the ground where you're heating up, you're melting stone to such a temperature where it melts and turns into liquid. Unbelievable. That's Rashi. And what is over here in the Targum? Targum, Pasik Chofches says, the Estaki al Ape Sidom, Avram Avinu, he gazed upon Sidom, Vamoira, the alcohol Ape Ara, Meshra, upon the Ara. Now, what does it mean the Ara? Upon the land. Ara means like a farmer. It means the land of the Meshra of the plain. Vachazo, and he saw, Vaho Selek Ta Nino. The ara. So the word tanino, I guess, means the kitor, means the column of smoke. Ke tanino de atun, like the smoke, the kitor of a oven, a tanura. Now, it could very well be that we have over here a machloikis, Rashi, and the unkelis as to what is a kivshan and what is the meaning of the word a kitor. Let's see the commentator, which you don't have. And it says over here, v'istake, I'm going very quickly, v'istake, re'iyah, he looked. We'll come back to that in a second. Tanina Oshan, V'chein Perish Rashi, Ibn Ezra V'radake, Da Atuna. Atuna means Aton Hu Guma, She'oisin Lishrev Ba'avonim, L'sid V'hu Kivshan Shekhal Mikra. Da Atuna means Atun. All right, he says over here, I'm not so happy with this. Because if you want to believe, you want to be a conspiracy theorist, then everything Rashi says is coming to argue on Ungulus. That's our thesis. When you work with a crooked mind, and everything that you're trying to say, if Rashi says this, it must be he's coming to disagree with the Targum. Then I would suggest, if I would want to go down that path, and I have to prove it, you can't just make things up. You can't just go say, you have to have proof. You just can't go talk, shoot from the hip. But if I wouldn't know better, I would suggest that if Rashi makes this comment, Kitar means Timur Shel Oshan. Timur, as far as I know, means a column, straight up. And the Targum doesn't say that. The Targum says, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Ches, V'estake al apestom of Amor, I'll call it, and it says, V'chazov v'hos lik ta'nino. The parish here says, the word ta'nino means nothing more than smoke. It doesn't say over here in the commentator, he did all the work for us. He did all the hard, heavy lifting. He traced the word Tanina. If I have my other sefer here, I have it here probably somewhere. I don't know where I put it. It's probably floating around here somewhere, probably that sefer. What is the exact literal meaning of the word Tanina? If the literal meaning means smoke, then we can suggest is a machlekes, Rashi and Unkelis, as to what the word means. Whereas according to Unkelis, it means it was just a cloud, a chaotic cloud of smoke that surrounded the vicinity of Sodom. Rashi went out of his way to say that it was a timur, a column, straight up, like the Ketores. That's a very big difference. It's a very big difference. You know, if there's a fire, conventional means, there's a lot of stuff on this. If you want to go ever study the World Trade Center, I won't spend time on this. I found it to be just mind-boggling. You know how much effort people put in to study the World Trade Center? 22 years ago. What happened 22 years ago?
Jet fuel burns at 1,500 degrees.
Okay.
Steel melts at 2,500.
Okay, so I made a mistake. I said 750 and 1,000.
It doesn't have to melt. It just has to become soft.
So when does it become soft?
I don't know.
So check it out. Check it out.
Limestone burns at 850 degrees.
800.
In fact, I remember when I first went to the Kaisel, they told you that when they came to when the Romans came to Yerushalayim, they couldn't get over the walls. And they tried all kinds of methods. And the king, the Caesar, the Caesar said, whoever finds a way to go through, he'll make him,
give him a lot of money.
Chief general.
Covered.
And
give
one
them covered,
guy
yeah.
Came, he said, all you have to do is take wood and burn it. And they went to Harazesim, which was full of olive trees. They chopped the trees down. They piled it at the side of the wall.
And it melted?
It got hot enough. Water, and
the stone melted. And it melted. Because the type of stone is that it's a soft stone. It's a soft stone?
Well, it's a limestone. Limestone has a chemical reaction
to fire
with carbon, which makes the lime.
Okay, so it does need to high temperature, 850 degrees.
Right.
Put in a self-cleaning oven. How high does an average self-cleaning oven get? About 1,000 degrees, I think I say?
No, self-cleaning gets 700,
700?
700.
700.
Yeah, that's it.
It's pretty hot. Okay, you don't want to be caught inside, right? So you don't want to do the conspiracy, but the people who study this stuff, they analyze the color of the smoke. Color of smoke tells you everything. Everything.
Yeah, it tells you who the Pope is.
It's true. Black smoke and white smoke. When they vote, they go for the rounds of voting. If it's black smoke, then not yet. It was a failed attempt. Like the Speaker of the House, right? They had all the votes. So after every round, they should have black smoke coming out of the White House, out of the Capitol. Black smoke, not yet. And when they finally have the Speaker, white smoke, like the Pope. Okay, but color of smoke, if you're a scientist, they look at the color of the smoke and they can tell you in a second what exactly has happened. If it's a missile, like even now when the hospital in Gaza, when they shot missiles, and the missiles fell down on the hospital in the parking lot, Israel right away in a second, we didn't do this because the color of the smoke, it's not the right color. The color of the smoke right away tells you what burnt, what kind of fuel was inside, what kind of weapon it is. Color tells you everything. And Okay, that's, I'm sure the fire marshal.
Yeah, what happened was there was a lot of fuel still in the rocket.
Right, so it couldn't be. It couldn't be from Israel. There's explosives.
They saw the fire from the rocket, from the fuel.
Exactly. It's
called spectrography. Spectrograph. You want look at the flame, you can tell the minerals.
You can tell everything. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing over here. You have smoke. So the Targum just says smoke. Rashi doesn't say smoke. He says the Timur Ashan, a column of smoke. It's a whole different ball game. There's a machlekes. Why did Rashi make this comment? Kitar, a big deal, the smoke. No, Rashi saw what it said in the Targum, and he says, I disagree. You say there was smoke, just a cloud of smoke, debris, a building collapse, and there's dust, and there's some fire, this and that, it's a color. No, that's not the case. It was a Timur Ashan. It's a whole different fire. Next, when it says a kivshan,
you know, you always tell us that keves and kesev, and you use words the opposite.
Correct.
Could be that there's kedusha in a column of smoke, and there's a tuma in a column of smoke.
Okay.
If it's in a base on migdash.
Okay. Okay. Harsh. Fine. Okay. In chanami, the stone. It was a column. Okay. Okay. That's very good. I like that. It's very, very good. Very good. But there's a chiddush in Rashi. Rashi says it's not just smoke, it's a timur ashan. Number two, what exactly is a kivshan? Oh, it's a hole in the ground, and they're melting stone into Sid. So what does Rashi, what does the Targum say? It says atuna. Now, I don't know what atuna is. I don't know what it is. You have to go do some research. But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the word atuna there's nothing in common between Rashi and Unglav. If Rashi makes a comment on a word and he goes to town and doesn't just ignore it, Rashi ignores 90% of what it says in Chumash. He ignores it, totally ignores it. And we have a track record that when Rashi makes a comment, he's basically coming to argue with Unglav or coming to support him or coming to elaborate. And perhaps the word atuna means a structure above ground. When you learn in the Gemara, you cannot never come across an oven, tanur v'chirayim. You very rarely come across an oven that's in the ground. Ovens are made from cheres, and they're above ground, and they have a base, a support, and they have legs, whatever it is, and they make smoke. You put in fuel underneath. Typically in the Gemara, the oven is above ground. Why? Because under the oven, you put fuel, you put wood, and it makes a fire. And the oven is on top of the fire, so the oven gets hot. That's typically, or the oven is above ground, and you put coals in the oven. You don't have ovens in the ground. That's not, there are such things, of course, but that's not so common. So maybe, and those ovens also make smoke. Plenty of pollution to go around. So, according to Targum, possibly, the smoke that was coming from stone was like the smoke that comes out of your oven that you use to bake matzahs. An oven. And Rashi says, no. We're not dealing with that kind of oven. We're dealing with a very different type of oven called a kivshan. A kivshan is it's in the ground, a pit in the ground, where the temperature gets extremely hot to the degree where you can literally melt stone, produce liquid stone. It's a different type of oven. If Rashi is making a comment, the first principle is, what did the Targum say? And research the words of the Targum with clarity to know exactly what the Targum said. And then when you see what Rashi says, you discover more often than not, he's saying something completely different. And that's why he made the statement, to disagree. All right, I'm going to stop here. Thank you very much for coming and listening. Mirat Hashem, I'll see you on... Oh, Mr. Glad, I'll see you, Mr. Shem, on Monday.
Monday. Thank you.
You're on tomorrow?
Yeah, no, tomorrow not. You came late. Tomorrow, there's no shiur tomorrow.
Why?
I'm going to Pennsylvania. You want to come with me? Good night. No. Torah Umesorah Convention.
Oh, Torah Umesorah. No. Who's running it? Fishman?
I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I don't even know where it is.
Are there going to be any girls there?
Yeah, there are.
There going to be girls?
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of girls.
I'd rather go to Aguda. The Aguda girls are more decent than the Termasura girls.
Everyone here in Shul is listening to you, Mayor. How do you know? I'll tell you, because I'm going, and I'll come back, I'll let you know. I went to the Aguda.
You'll see I'm right. You'll see I'm right.
Okay, we'll see.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mordechai, see you later. Good night.
Good night.